It's the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza.
Five minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome in. It is the Clay Millen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. And I'm pretty sure Clay ran here. Dude, you were running all over the place. I loved it. I don't know if you loved it, but that was fun to see. Congratulations on I think a win is a win at this stage. We're just trying to grow this program and get some excitement. Yeah, Susan and Cheryl love that, man. Yeah. Congratulations on the big dub over Hawaii over the weekend, my man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, it's good to see you back out there, too.
Yeah, for sure. No, it was really good to be back out there.
I mean, what's that like when you know you're going back in? I mean, is it kind of like the start of the season all over again, you know, butterflies? I mean, it wasn't Michigan, but
yeah.
I mean, as far as just getting back out there, knowing, okay, it's been a couple of weeks. I'm ready to get back out there with my guys.
Yeah, I think coming out this time, I think I was way more, you know, kind of relaxed and just felt calm being in there because I kind of, you know, once you see that sideline perspective and just watch, you know, from not being the quarterback's perspective, I think it just gives you kind of a different perspective than when you're actually out there. And I think that just going out there, I was calm and I think I had a lot of fun this game. I remember I was just kind of smiling during a couple of plays, just like enjoying being back out there because I missed it. So it was just good to be back out there.
Yeah, man. I mean, you looked like you were having fun running it.
Yeah.
You ended up with 9 carries for 53 yards. Mm-hmm. You threw for 177 yards. So, I mean, you were putting out over 200 yards of production for this team. No interceptions on the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you were able to run the ball well with Avery Morrow again.
Yeah, for sure.
Back-to-back-to-back games with 100-plus yards for Morrow, too.
Yeah, I think our offense is starting to click. You know, I think that we didn't have a lot of possessions. Like I said, this game was a lot shorter. Usually we have, you know, 12 to 13, and I think we only had, like, 8 this game. And I think we left a lot of points up on the board. I think, you know, we had those two maybe inside the 10-yard line where we should have scored. And then we also had a fourth down. You know, I think we could have gotten that. We should have gotten that one. We had the look we wanted. I think we were inside their 25. So I think there's a lot of points left on the board. You know, I think we're really close. I think overall we move the ball really well. But once we get down there, you know, we just got to finish and get points on the board.
That's interesting when you talk about the possessions, too. That's something you guys clearly look at, too, mm-hmm. like the amount of possessions that you think you're going to get in a game. And
yeah.
I guess that dictates sometimes how you might call certain plays, too, I suppose.
For sure. I think that one game that we talk about particular every single year, last year especially, was Air Force. It's like it's kind of like the same as this game was. You only get 8 possessions.
Mm, true,
and so,
yeah.
You know, coming into this game, we didn't really expect to only get that little possessions. But, for example, you know, like you said, like an Air Force type of game, you just got to know that every single possession really matters. And you got to get some type of points if it's a field goal or obviously you want to score. But, I mean, in those kind of games, you just got to get points up on the board every single possession.
Let's talk about that final drive, Clay, to ultimately go up in this one and then hang on to that lead. I mean, again, you outscored Hawaii 14-0 in that second half.
Yeah.
So knowing, okay, defensively, they're playing lights out again. Mm-hmm. You guys start to come alive there, especially in that second half. But that final drive, I mean, you started off by hitting Torrey Horton on a nice, you know, 14-15-yard reception. So that kind of gets
yeah.
it going.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kind of plays where you open up, you get that first down kind of in those. And I know there was like 6 minutes left or something, mm-hmm. but it kind of felt like that was going to be the game.
For sure, yeah. I think that when I was out there, I didn't really realize how low the game was in the clock until that kind of that fourth down. I was like, okay, no, this is it. We got to have this right here. So it was kind of a cool feeling to go down there. You know, you're down by 3 points and get that game-winning drive and execute. And then, you know, once we scored, I just knew our defense and the way we had our momentum that, you know, we won the game right there.
This drive, I've got it in front of me, too, just looking through it. It was a very balanced attack. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had some nice throws down there. You ran again a couple of times, and then
yeah.
you used Avery Morrow as well, which he has just been, to me anyway, a pleasant surprise. Probably not a pleasant surprise for you guys because you know what
yeah.
this guy can bring.
For sure.
But that was just a really balanced attack for you guys. I mean, is that... I mean, it wasn't quite for air raidy, but there was hints to it, I suppose. But it was kind of this just everything that could go right went right in that possession.
For sure, yeah. The fourth quarter, they started playing some 3 downs, so it gave us really good run boxes, especially that final drive, too. So we knew that, you know, when they're playing 3 down against us, we had to be able to use the run game, too. You know, I think they did a good job kind of trying to keep take away the deep passing game. You know, they played with high safeties, and so it kind of took away any deep shots we could really get in that game that we usually feel like we get more chances at. But overall, I think that last drive was just really good, and we executed, and so that was great to finish out the game that way.
Well, Clay, what I like to see in those kind of, you know, we were talking about Torrey Horton, you know, three receptions for him, but critical receptions and yards after catch in that last possession. That just goes to show you, man, it doesn't matter how the game goes. You could break out at any moment and just kind of take over a game.
For sure, yeah. I think Torrey's a guy that we obviously want to get the ball to more. I mean, only three catches for, you know, our best receiver. It's obviously we want to give him the ball more, and that's just kind of the way the game goes. I mean, sometimes they take away certain guys, and then other guys make great plays, like LB and Justice made great plays all day. So that was really exciting to see that. And obviously, like I said, we're going to keep getting guys the ball on it. You know, if you're not getting the ball at any time, it could come. You know, it could be the game-winning touchdown catch. I think that Justice, you know, against Wazoo, he'd barely been out there and then threw a touchdown and a couple plays to him. So, yeah.
You just never know, right, when that moment's going to happen. And how about for you? Feeling okay? Everything? I know we're going to get questions about that, but you feeling good?
Yeah, I think I'm a little sore because I'm a little out of shape. I think after sitting out for 3 weeks, my core was a little sore, and I was like, yeah, that's probably because I wasn't, you know, working out as hard because my shoulder and stuff. But yeah, overall, I'm good. You know, I'll be good for Saturday, but a little more sore than usual, I'd say.
So you ran, I mean, we were talking about this during the break, Clay. You're not a stranger to running the football. You did it in high school a little bit, right? You would run around when you needed to.
Yeah, a little bit in high school, yeah.
But I always think this is I'm always curious because you see some quarterbacks that are just like, I'm a runner and that's what it is. I don't care. I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
But then you see guys that want to be more traditional pocket passers where it's almost like, I know I can run for 15 yards right now, but I really don't want to because I want to throw the ball. How do you view that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, first off, I think I'm definitely a pocket passer. That's what I want to do. I'd rather get a 15-yard completion than a 15-yard run. That's just the way I am. And so, you know, at the end of the day, too, it's my job to move the offense and get good plays. And so with that, the way they're playing a lot of man coverage, a lot of two-man, and they were just dropping out. So it wasn't – they were giving me a lot of good running lanes. You know, I'd drop back, and there would just be a ton of grass right in front of me. And so I was obviously – going through my progression and trying to get guys, but just the way they're playing it, I mean, it just gave me wide open lanes to run. So at the end of the day, my job is to execute the offense and move it, and so that's what I was just trying to do.
I was like, I mean, I was having fun watching, man. I was like, oh, there he goes again. Yeah. All right, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is. You want to – there's something to it when you're a pocket guy and you really take pride in that style of being – that style of quarterbacking where it's like, yeah, I feel much better if I'm completing those passes down the field. How's the coaching staff reacting when they see you take off running like that? Is it like, dude, okay, we like it, but you know, be careful? Is that what's that conversation?
No, they were good. I think they thought I did a good job with sliding when I was doing that, and I think that they just want me to move the ball. Obviously, I mean, we obviously want to throw the ball and get completions, but they're just as happy, you know, if I get a 10-yard gain, then that's all they look at. If it's no matter how I do it, you know, if I'm making the right reads, I'm not missing an open guy downfield, if I'm taking off and running, as long as I'm doing the right thing and doing my job and moving the ball, they're happy. So they're excited to see me run a little bit. I mean, obviously, coming off my shoulder injury, they're like, hey, you know, just kind of brace yourself and try and protect yourself as much as you can. But they're happy with it.
I need like a Jay Norvell cam at that point. Like every time you run, what does Jay Norvell's face look like?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is, yeah, that's good. Okay, yeah great
down.
Job, Clay. Please get down faster than that.
Yeah.
Sliding is a technique, though. Like, you have to be careful when you, because you obviously know if you slide too soon, you're not going to get the yards you want, but you know, you don't want to slide too late because maybe those penalties aren't going to come if you slide too late and you get a hit. So you do have to kind of master the art of a good quarterback slide.
Yeah, for sure. I think that if it's, you know, especially third down or second and long and you're getting close to the first down, because if you slide too early, it's going to be third down and one, and all of a sudden if you don't get it, you don't want to be the reason that if you slid too early to down before that you don't get it. So for me, I try and get the first down if I can. I mean, obviously, I want to protect myself. I've kind of thought about and talked. My dad even mentioned it, is maybe sliding forward. You know, it's much harder, I think, to slide forward naturally. But I think, you know, you get the extra 2 or 3 yards. So you just kind of want to try and find the right balance of, you know, sliding in the right area. I think I had one on third down where I purposely kind of, you know, dove forward to get it instead of sliding.
Yeah.
So it's like you just got to kind of be aware of the situation and know when to slide, you know, or try and get the first first down and possibly take a hit.
Isn't it something, too? I always see this on the sidelines, and you tell me. But when teams, when offenses and even defenses see their quarterback take off, and they do dive forward a little bit to get that extra.
Yeah.
Something about it, man. Yeah. Just gets everybody going like, that guy's laying his life. The quarterback's laying his life on the line.
Yeah.
There is something about that, though, right? When you take off and you lunge forward and you get a big play.
Yeah, I think the guys liked that. I think they liked when I did my first down.
Oh, man.
I think
keep
everyone,
doing it.
Everyone was loving that. So I think they all enjoyed seeing that and seeing me going out there and, you know, running the ball. I got a couple jokes, you know, like Dylan Vic or something, Clay Vic. And I was like, oh, boy. Like,
can you add a little...
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. So.
Add a little spin with the hands, and then for they won't. Is that taunting? I suppose you got to be careful with that.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
I loved it though. A little bit of attitude out there. And do you bring that to the game sometimes? Do you bring a little bit of extra attitude? Are you talking a little trash in there when you can? I know we asked you before, but when you start to get a couple of these wins on your belt, you guys are feeling good. Does that happen much for you?
Yeah, I think once things are going well, you know, you obviously don't want to be talking when you're down or losing.
You don't want to be like Jerry Judy out there. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so if we're up, you know, I might say a thing or two. I think I said something this game, and I was like, oh, after my shoulder, you know, I probably don't want to make him too mad.
Yeah, you don't want to get him too mad at that point.
So I was being careful, but yeah, if things are going well, you know, I'll say a couple things, but nothing extreme, though.
Hawaii is an interesting team. They're trying to kind of figure it out. Obviously, there's a connection with their head coach, Jay Norvell, as well, and we talked a little bit about that last week. But that's a team that went up and scored, what they scored, like 35 against Nevada.
Yeah.
And that game was kind of tight, right? A tight kind of game. So obviously it shows me that Hawaii, you know, and they've been a rough team in the past few years. I don't know what their end game is going to look like this season, but Hawaii is an improved football team. They're better than they were a season ago.
Yeah, I think they're much better. I think that was something, the main point they talked about in the scouting report, is you look at their first three or four games, you know, they're playing a lot better football now coming into that game. I think they beat Nevada like by 15 points or something. It was relatively close, and then they pulled away at the end. And then they're beating San Diego State, and San Diego State went down and kicked a game-winning field goal. And I'm pretty sure they won the week before that. So they've been playing a lot better football. So I think that team was a lot more improved than they were at the beginning of the season. So it was good to kind of know, you know, this team's getting better, and we just beat them. So that was a good confidence for us.
How do you guys feel? Does it feel like things, again, are just getting a little bit easier on the offensive side? Like things are clicking a little bit better? This offensive line's kind of seems like they're kind of settling down a little bit more into what we want to see them do.
For sure, yeah. I think our run game was really good. I think our offensive line did a good job, and I think that they gave me time this week. You know, I think we had zero sacks, which was awesome, and I think they did a really good job for me. So I think just coming back and knowing that we have a run game and, you know, or we're blocking well up front, that just gives me a lot of confidence. And coming into that game, obviously, I was fresh off my shoulder, and I wanted to stay healthy and stay protected coming back. And I think our offensive line did a great job of that, made me feel comfortable back there. So that was really good.
We haven't heard back from CSU yet, but we were going to try to get Avery Morrow on the show with us today. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but is he getting a big head now, man? I mean, last year he ran for 121 yards. He has 500 yards, and I like 350 of that is in the last 3 weeks. He's been an absolute difference maker out there.
Yeah, I think he's still humble. He's still a great guy, obviously. I think that he's kind of been through some stuff, you know, just to get into the starting spot. I think in the, you know, spring and summer, he was really the two or three kind of battling for that backup, you know, or third string spot at that point, because we had Ajon. It looked like Ajon in the spring was like kind of the clear guy, and that's who I personally thought was going to be the guy for the season. And then Avery just started playing really well, and I think that, you know, that process has made him humble, you know, what he had to go through kind of to get in the starting spot now, and I'm just super happy for him. With everything he's gone through, you know, with all the guys leaving, he stuck with it. He was still positive in the locker room. He never was down. He was still the same guy that he is today. So it's just cool to kind of see how much success he's having and not – in the process he went through, he never was like pouty or moping or doing any of that stuff. He was still the same guy he is, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, and he just runs so hard. How about the defensive side of the football? Again, this group coming up big and pretty much erases any chance of a comeback by Hawaii. They get that interception late. What more can we say about this defense, man? I mean, they've been really good.
Yeah, they're awesome to have. I mean, obviously, when you have a defense holding a team to 13 points, it makes it really easy as a quarterback and as an offensive guy to, you know, go win games. And I think that we can help them out more by finishing those drives. And like I said, I think that we left a lot of points on the board. And, you know, we have two or three different plays. I think we win that game, you know, by two or three touchdowns if we just execute. So our defense, just as a quarterback, you know, the way they've been playing, it's like I always feel confident that they're going to go make a stop. You know, when we had that first fourth down that we didn't get, it was like, okay, these guys are, they're going to go get a quick stop, and it's like we're going to get the ball back. So I feel really good about them. You know, we've got definitely one of the best defenses in the Mountain West right now, so I'm super excited about them. And they're playing winning football, so we're all really hyped up about them.
A huge opportunity coming up this weekend, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, going up against Boise State. They've had an interesting season, though, too. Now, obviously, they're 4-0 in the conference. They just beat Utah or Air Force. They're 5-2 overall. But if you would have told me that their quarterback left and then they were still in this position, I would have thought you were crazy. But Hank Bachmeier leaves his program, and they're still stitching it together and making this thing work. So certainly a big opportunity for Colorado State. Colorado State's never beat Boise State?
I guess so.
Do you pay attention to that stuff, or are you just this is my first year. That's new to me.
I've heard it. I'm not going to go into it.
Doesn't do anything for you. Yeah. All right. 21 minutes after the hour, getting to know Clay. We know Clay's heard it, but he doesn't care. We're going to talk more to Clay Millen on the other side with Getting to Know Clay, presented by Ent Credit Union. It's the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. The Rams, the Bears, the Buffs, and the Broncos. Brady hits it all on the Hull Show, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-six minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, this is where we have an opportunity to get to know Clay. This portion of the program, Getting to Know Clay Millen, presented by Ent Credit Union. And I know you do a lot of great work with Ent Credit Union. Some amazing people, and they're growing in the Front Range, man. There's an Ent Credit Union location all over the place in Fort Collins, and they're putting them up like crazy, man. It's great
for
to
sure.
See.
Yeah, they're awesome. I think one of my aunts, she lives here, and she uses them, and she loves it too.
Just fantastic. Awesome. Well, so it was a no-brainer for you, and they're like, sure. Hey, let's work with you, man. Let's make this thing go. Ent Credit Union, we thank them so much for working with us and all the good work that those folks do. First question, I mean, I got a lot of football questions this week. There's a lot of stuff coming in about the actual game against Hawaii. Kind of stemming from what I asked you about, but Clay, did you think you were going to be running the football so much in that game against Hawaii?
No, honestly, I was hoping I wouldn't be running the ball so much. You know, coming off my shoulder injury, I was hoping just to protect myself, get the ball out. But like I said, they played a lot of two-man, and that just gave me a lot of good running lanes. And, you know, when they're playing man coverage, they're not looking back at you. So, you know, when we're running like four verts, you know, it just clears everything out. And so I had really good lanes. And so I just had to get the yards I could and try and get down and stay healthy. That was the biggest thing for me.
Came away healthy, got the win, all good, man. Yes, that's what you love. Clay, do you have a best friend on the team?
Best friend.
Who's your best friend on the team without making everybody else feel sad?
I would say I have a group of guys. Like the guys I live with now, I've gotten really close with them. I'm close with the quarterbacks too. I think we're all a tight group because we all kind of came in together. Like I said, you know, I think that people sometimes just assume the quarterbacks because they're all competing can't be friends and everything. You know, we're a really close group. So I've got a good group of guys on the team. You know, I wouldn't say there's one particular guy, but I've just got a good group of guys that I would say that I'm all close with.
How good of friends are you with a Torrey Horton? Because we always talk about you two coming from Nevada and that connection. Obviously, we saw it, you know, right off the bat in the first couple of weeks, and then you're recovering from his injury. But what's that relationship like?
Yeah, he's a super cool guy. You know, he's always got his swag on. You know, he's a cool guy to be around. And obviously, I think just being a quarterback and receiver connection, you know, he's just a super cool guy to have. And obviously, we can talk, you know, anything in the game too. You know, like we can just always talk about anything and just be real with each other. Like if we're seeing something, it's not like we have to be nice to each other or anything. Like if he sees something, he'll let me know, and same thing. So we just have a good connection.
Maybe sometimes that's a good thing, right? Yeah. Not to be best friends, but to be friends. But if something's going on, you can kind of get after each other too.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. This one's kind of about the music side of it. Clay, I went to a couple of practices earlier in the season, or at least parked by there. I hear different kinds of music. What's your favorite kind of music?
Me, I think I'm kind of like everywhere. If I like a song, I like a song. I'll go a little bit of country sometimes. I think I like more rap. You know, I'm not like a huge just one type of music. If I like a song, then I'll stick with it.
I always wonder who's in charge of picking the music when I go. When I was going to some of the practices before the season started, because I'll come in and there's a rap song. Okay, there's a heavy metal. That's got to be Matt Mummy hooking you guys up with AC/DC or something. But then I'll hear a country song. Mm-hmm. Like who's responsible for the playlist? In practices.
I literally have no idea who it is, but I think there's certain days where it's like we'll have all country on, or someday we'll have like all rap, and it just kind of depends on the day. You know, like I think we call it Hot Piss Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it on the air, but
that's fine. Yeah.
That's what we call it, and there's always upbeat music, you know, some hard metal or something like that, and we're all upbeat for that day. So
Okay, so I need to do some digging. I got to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah,
who comes up? Because I always wonder, like, are there a few captains that come up with the music playlist?
I don't think so. I don't think it's players. It's someone that's not a player. That's all I know.
Somebody's got control over it. So you guys are all like, who's picking this crap, man? This isn't even popular anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's equipment or something. I'm not exactly
and they come
sure.
up with it. Well, yeah, because it's great. I mean, and I think we joked about it, like that first practice in the off season. Like the speakers were pretty loud,
and
you guys were making noise. Like, here we go.
Yeah, we need music out there for that energy.
I loved it, man. That was fantastic. Clay, just talking about the defensive side. This question we kind of wants to know: did you expect that this defense would be that good this season? Obviously, seeing them every single day in practice.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we have a lot of talented guys. I mean, I don't know if you can expect a defense to do what they've been doing the past 3 weeks. I think that, you know, they had two defensive touchdowns against Nevada, you know, a bunch of turnovers against Utah State, and only held them to, what, 17 points. And they put our offense in really good field position, I think, at least two or three times just off turnovers. And then last week, obviously, holding them to 13 points. So I don't think you can ever say you'd expect that, but I mean, I always knew that we had a talented defense from day one, so I always expected them to be good, but I didn't know they'd be this good. So
this one's kind of about the Boise State question I asked you too. Does the coaching staff talk about that? The fact that CSU hasn't beat the Broncos before, is that something that comes up at all, or will it come up, do you think, at some point this week?
I think it definitely will come up. I think that's obviously, you know, a thing that you can encourage guys on, like, hey, we've never beat this program before. I mean, obviously, you know, this team, you know, the way I think about it is this team, you know, it's not like we've lost to Boise State 11 times. It's the program's lost 11 times, so it's a new team, a new year. We want to go win this game. And so, obviously, never beating an opponent, you want to go really win that game. It gives you fire. And, you know, people are just assuming because you've never beaten a certain program, you know, people are just going to count you out from the beginning. So I think that that'll definitely be a point this week, is like, hey, you know, it's something that we can talk about because it can fire us up. Like, let's go win this game. Like, we've never beat these guys before. Let's go win this game. Like, why can't we go beat them, you know?
Do you pay attention to looking at the underdog and dogs and spreads or any of that? Do you pay attention to that stuff, or is it like, I just don't even want to look at it?
Sometimes I think you'll hear about it, you know. I think you'll see sometimes on ESPN if you're looking at the game or something like that, you'll see it. And so I think I've already heard about the spread this week.
27 and a half?
Yeah.
What does that do? What does that do for your brain? Does that bug you?
Yeah, I think it kind of fires us up. You know, I think that's, you know, kind of disrespectful. I think that, you know, being, what, 27 and a half point underdogs in a conference game, you know, I think that, you know, that fires up the team. It's like they're already counting us out and, you know, who cares what people think, really. It's just up to us to go execute. And obviously, you know, they're a really good program, and I have respect for them. And actually, one of my best friends goes there, so I'll be excited to see him. So I'm excited to go down to Boise. But, yeah, we're all fired up to play this game, and I think that just, you know, not even just the point spread, I think just the way things have been, you know, we've never beat this program before. You know, this is Boise State's kind of looked at as the prestigious team in Mountain West over the years. So I think this will be a good game for us to go try and play our best football against one of the best teams in our conference.
They go with a different starting quarterback than they started the season with. Hank Bachmeier leaves the program. Yet this team is finding a way to get big wins, and they're undefeated in the conference. They're 5-2 overall. And I'm excited because this game will be on FS1. At 5 o'clock, and I don't have to watch it through some weird app that had Hawaii commercials the whole time.
That was
fun.
Yeah, that would be cool to be on a bigger stage, obviously, and I think that it'll be a good opponent. And like I said, I got some buddies down there, too, which will be fun for me personally, and I think should probably be a good crowd because I think Boise usually has a good crowd and play on the blue turf, so that'll be a fun experience.
What do you think of that blue turf?
I think my first experience I ever had, me and my dad, we were driving down, our entire family was driving down to Idaho. And so we stopped by Boise State Stadium, and this is when I was like 9 years old. And so our dog actually ran through the gate, and he was running through like the stands and stuff, and we squeezed through, and so we had to chase him around. So that was my first time ever being there. But I think that's always been cool, seeing the blue turf, you know, when you're a little kid playing NCAA 14, like just playing on that turf, you know, everyone always loves it. So
it's awesome as a kid.
It'll be a cool experience.
Yeah. Is it – so – you haven't been on it, right, as a player? Like you,
I've been on it because last year we went to Boise.
So I was going to ask, like, what that was like, just being on the field. Mm-hmm. And again, you're going to find out, like, what that's really like playing in that.
Yeah.
And I suppose, does it affect you at all, I wonder?
I don't think so.
You don't see you're not paying attention to it.
Yeah, Carson's never said it affected him or anything, so I would assume that it wouldn't affect. But, I mean, I've heard some theories where it might, I don't know. I don't even know what it would
some kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear the story? So one of the Coloradoan guys, the local paper in Fort Collins, put together a story. This might have been a couple years ago, probably 2 years ago, when CSU was going to Boise, or when, maybe it was four. I don't know. But one of the reasons that people were concerned about making the field blue, they were afraid the geese would fly over and and I swear this is real.
Yeah.
Kelly Lyle put that story together, that the geese would fly over thinking it was a lake and would just dive bomb into the field. So, like, I just picture this town meeting of, you're the geese, you're killing all the geese. What are we doing here, man? And I don't think we've had any broken necks from geese there.
Yeah,
so I think that we weren't worried about it going forward.
Yeah.
Do you like the fields like that? Would you, like, if you were an athletic director in charge of a team and you had a cool color, would you say, hey, let's make this a unique color? Do you like that, or do you like just the traditional greens that we see with most stadiums?
I like the traditional green, but I think it's kind of cool to have, you know, a couple stadiums with, you know, like the blue. It's cool. I think that's cool, but I don't think it'd be as cool if every single team, you know, like there's like 50 teams out there that painted their field
a different color.
Like, you know, that would, I don't think that'd be cool, but I think it's cool that Boise's unique in their own way. So I respect that.
Well, and CSU's got their field painted after them, right?
Yeah.
Green. So what'd you think of the state pride uniforms you guys wore?
Yeah, I think
they
were really cool. I think my friends texted me, like, those uniforms are dope. So I think
a lot of people like those that are statewide, even outside of the state, are like, those are sweet. Because a lot of teams do that, whether it's college football or baseball. We see it all over the place. The Rockies looked like a license plate. I didn't like their uniforms. But those are pretty sweet uniforms.
Yeah, they were sweet. I think playing in all white at home was cool. I like that, too, like, because usually you never wear your whites at home. So I thought that was cool. And I think that just seeing before the pregame, everyone's like, oh, yeah, these are sweet. So I was a big fan of those.
Do you guys have any, what's the situation like? Your next home game will be against the Cowboys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we know what the uniforms are going to be yet, or is it still,
are
we doing something cool?
I don't know. I think probably green and gold.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Just traditional, I would assume, but don't hold me on that.
We get closer to it, we'll see. Two road games coming up for Colorado State, at Boise State, as we talked about, and then at San Jose State. So you're getting into the thick of the conference play, and these are the teams that I think their goals are to be in that championship game. Boise State, San Jose State, Wyoming, Air Force, I believe that's still a goal. They've stumbled a little bit, but the next four, these teams are all dreaming pretty big. So some huge opportunities coming forward for you guys.
For sure, yeah. It's going to kind of be a four-game gauntlet for sure. I think those are all really good teams, and it's just four great opportunities for us, you know, to finish out conference and finish out the year, obviously. So I think that these are all big opportunities for us, and we're looking on each opponent each week. Is so obviously Boise this week, we're not going to look ahead to any other opponents, and this will be a huge week for us, and then the following weeks after that too, it'll be huge each week. So this is going to be a great opportunity and a great month for us, so we're excited about that.
1:38 the time. Let's just take a glance at Boise State when we come back on the defense. We'll look at the defense a little bit. Obviously this offense, I don't know that that's how they predicted they would be operating throughout the course of the season, but that's where they are. We'll talk about the Broncos coming up next. It's the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear from the coaches and the players this fall on Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
They can't make things true.
43 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, you're listening to the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. The pizza, the wing. When Clay and I first met, we went and had some pizza and wings, man. It was a great time.
Yeah, it was a good old time.
We're going to go do that again very, very soon.
For sure. I think one of our trainers the other day was eating some in our meeting, and I'm like, dude, really? You got to eat that right in front of me?
Well, and for you guys, they're all over the stadium, too. Yeah. It's Crazy Carl's everywhere. Oh, yeah. You're probably like, man, I'm starving at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So we love the great folks over there at Crazy Carl's Pizza. And just a side note, we will be working with Isaiah Stevens for basketball season. Even though he's out, we're still going to show him the love and do some good basketball radio on
awesome.
The side of it. Are you a basketball guy much, Clay?
Somewhat.
Do you just
somewhat?
Would you play some pickup games or?
Yeah, I'll play some. I'm not great, you know. But
what other sports were your kind of your key sports?
So I was basketball until I played JV my freshman year, and then after that I was done. And I played lacrosse until I think seventh grade.
Okay.
And then what else was there? That was really it. Yeah.
Did you do like track and field or anything like that?
For a little bit. I was like halfway through. I joined like late, I think, or something.
Okay.
And then I really wasn't like on the team because I was lifting and stuff, but it was like I did a couple things here and there.
After watching you run, man, I'm like, does the team need a 100 meter dasher out there? What's your can you tell us your 40 time? Or is that top secret?
I think
you gotta be pretty good,
I
right?
Think probably like 4.8. Like high 4.8.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Is that
so
good? Angel,
I mean,
you're the track coach.
I'm a pocket passer, so yeah.
I thought, but there's a difference in that 40 speed compared to adrenaline takeoff and get a first down speed.
Yeah.
Like that, because that was fast. That was good.
Well,
Angel's a track coach. If you need some track pointers, he's got you covered.
Yeah, I got the first down. Wasn't super fast to get there, but
dude,
you know,
I thought you moved pretty good.
Thanks.
I thought you moved pretty good. I was gonna say I wrote that down. I was like, ask him what his 40 time is.
Yeah.
So, but again, we know that you would much rather just it's easier. It's less cardio. Just get the ball down the field. Just throw it on down. Let the Hortons of the world do the running around. Looking at this Boise State team, this is a team that I'll be honest. At the start of the season, our guy Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he wasn't a believer in this team early. I was. Then they kind of get smoked by Oregon State early, which Pac-12 team. They lose to UTEP 27-10, and you're wondering what's going to happen with this program. Well, their quarterback, Hank Bachmeier, who seems like he's been with the program for 400 years, finally just, I think he sees the writing on the wall, which is why I do like the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
Boise State's at that point going, we're going to go with Taylor Green. Probably going to be our guy. And so Hank says, I want to keep another year of eligibility and leaves.
Yeah.
And now it's Taylor Green, who's the complete opposite of Clay Millen.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to run the ball, man. Yeah. If I have a wide open guy, I'm still probably going to run for 7 yards or something like that. So a running quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know much about him, but from what I've heard, I think he's opposite of me. I think he's more of a dual threat guy. He wants to run first. And I think from what I've heard, he still has a good arm too, but I think that he wants to run first as far as I'm concerned. So
this is a decent – obviously, they're just – Boise State's getting to the point where they're pretty solid. They're pretty good defense. I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Clay. Don't you throw out the film, though, Boise State versus Air Force? Do you even look at that film because you just know it's a totally different game than what you're going to get?
Yeah, we don't watch the Air Force.
You don't even watch it even a little bit?
Don't even look at a snap of it. So,
it doesn't matter that – because, again – Air Force ran for 175 yards, but Air Force runs for 175 yards today, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not even playing. So I always thought that was interesting. Like, other than actual Air Force film, we don't care if you played Air Force. That film's not getting looked at all.
Yeah, there's certain games, too, that you, not even if it's Air Force, you might just not even, you might look at it a little bit, but you really don't take a deep look into it because it's like, okay, this offense is a lot different than what our offense will be showing. So you really get the main games that you try and get the teams that they played that are like your offense and see the looks that they gave them. So that's really the main stuff that we dive into.
So do you go back to like the game before that was Fresno State? So that would probably be the one you're really
watching. We watched some Fresno State this morning.
So what sticks out, you know, again, on the defensive side when you're looking at it and it's churning your brain, okay, what does this defense like to do?
Yeah, I think they've got a good front seven. They play some man coverage, and I think this is a good unit. I think their front seven's really solid. Like I said, one of the best things about their defense. They've got a big, strong, physical, strong safety that likes to come down and play in the run game too. I think they got some good corners outside and safety. So I think that overall they've got a lot of good playmakers around. And I think all those guys, they're old guys, they're veteran guys. So they've played a lot of football, so they're experienced, and that obviously helps the more football games you play. play in. So this is just an experienced defense, and I think overall, you know, it'll be a good challenge for us and a good opportunity.
You mentioned something that kind of caught my brain there. You talk about older guys. Mm-hmm. Has that been an interesting kind of challenge you didn't see? Because with the COVID year, you are getting players that are typically – they're getting another year on top of that. And, you know, typically you see guys get what? You know, 2, 3, 4 years or whatever, unless they redshirt. But now you're seeing guys, if you add a redshirt, they could be at the college level for like 5, 6 years or so. Does that – I mean, that adds a benefit to them, and they just know this game a lot more. And you as a freshman quarterback, I mean, that's got to be interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about all the guys that are like, what? I think there's guys playing that are 5 years older than me, and it's like, dang, I was eighth grade when you were your freshman
that's
year.
That's got to be crazy, man.
It's a weird kind of feeling because just knowing that how much older some of the guys are because of COVID and everything. But I think it's good for them too that they got that COVID year, obviously. So, but yeah, like I said, having experience, I think, obviously really helps. And I think that, you know, if one guy is not as talented, but he's played a lot of football, that helps them a lot. So this is a really experienced defense with COVID and everything. A lot of them got another extra year. So they're a very old team.
No doubt about it, man. All right, 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break. We'll wrap it up. Clay is 1-0 in his Monday Night Football picks. Can he do it again? Can he go 2-0 in these super duper important picks coming up? I'm 0-1 since I started doing this with Clay. So thanks, Clay. 49 minutes after the hour, short break here. It's the Clay Millen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo, a Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the Clay Millen Show. And because Clay was so successful in this last week in his picks, he picked a which I think is a safe bet now, is to pick the Broncos to lose. What'd your dad think about you picking? Because that was one of his teams. He was a Broncos guy at one point, so he probably didn't like that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think he's a big Justin Herbert guy. Obviously, he loves the Broncos, he's a big Justin Herbert guy, so I think he was okay with me going Herbert there.
Who do you like tonight? Pass. We've got Bears and Patriots tonight, so... Ooh. Where are you going with this one? The Patriots are 8.5-point favorites at home.
Who's starting for the Patriots right now?
We do believe it's return of the Mac.
Okay,
so,
I'm going Mac.
I'm going Mac too. Okay, I can't gain any ground on Clay this week, but we can at least tie this weekend. Clay, my man, great work from you. Awesome to see you back out there. Congratulations on a huge win against Hawaii, and we'll be pulling for you this weekend, man. I cannot wait.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
All right, my man. This has been the Clay Millen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. We'll be back at it next Monday with Clay. The podcasts are available at 1310kfka.com. Good night, Northern Colorado.